Bible with you this morning. If you'd turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter number 1, I'd like to deal with two verses today as far as a text verse. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You may be here today and struggling in life because life has many struggles. Life is very unfair. But I'm glad we've got a friend, the Lord Jesus, that sticketh closer than a brother. Paul is writing, and he makes a statement. In Romans 1 and verse 16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing in reverence in the reading of the Word of God. Father, I thank You for Your goodness, Your grace. I thank You for the wonderful Spirit of God that's in our presence here this morning. Lord, last Sunday, You didn't let me preach. But God, this morning, You have this Scripture in my heart. And I pray now that You would help me by the Spirit of God to uplift the precious Son of God. Lord, if it'd be one here lost today, I pray that You'd deal with our heart. Lord, if it's one that is walked away from You, I pray You draw them back in the presence of God. Help us here today. Dear God, I'm a needy preacher. And I ask You to help me now a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach today on the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. It has been used as the glorious gospel. You'll notice in Paul's writings, he said that, "For by the gospel therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." There's just something about the gospel. I want to be a gospel preacher. I want this to be a gospel ministry. Now, there are three things about this gospel. I want to deal with the deeds of the gospel. Then I want to deal with the heeds of the gospel. Then lastly, I want to talk a few minutes today about the needs of the gospel. Paul writes about the deeds of the gospel. He said, first of all, it is the power of God. The gospel has power. People said, well, you need to change the way you do things in your churches because the gospel's not working. Let me tell you, the gospel is doing that what God sent it to do. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the gospel simply means the good news. I'm glad we have a good news in the gospel this morning. Here Paul said it is the power of God. It's not in a man's words, but it is in the words of the gospel. and hear these deeds of the gospel, it says it is the power of God. And then notice this, not only the power of the gospel, but the purpose of the gospel. Why did God send us the gospel? Why did God send us this message? There is a purpose. He said, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The purpose of the gospel. Salvation simply means safety, preservation, and deliverance. I want to ask you, do you really have salvation? Do you know that you're ready to meet God by the blood of the Lord Jesus and Calvary's cross? The deeds of the gospel, we see Paul wrote about its power. He wrote about its purpose, that of salvation. But then I like this, there's the plan of the gospel. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. Can I tell you that the Jews rejected the gospel? And when they did, God turned to the Gentiles. I'm glad it's a whosoever gospel today. Whether you be Jew or Gentile, Christ died for all. And we find here in the writing of the Word of God, there is the plan of the gospel. Oh my goodness, he that believeth. I'm glad that we can believe by faith today. So hear this power of the gospel and this purpose of the gospel. This plan of the gospel that whosoever or to everyone that believeth. I want to say that being saved today requires faith and faith alone. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Preacher, clarify that real quick for me. Grace is what God done for us by His Son on the cross. And the Bible said that God hath given every man a measure of faith. Therefore, we're saved by grace through faith. It is your responsibility to put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. For grace by itself cannot save you. But grace and faith can save you this morning. You must have faith out of your heart to accept what God has done for you by His Son. There's a lot of people talk about grace, but not many people have faith. And so here we see this power of the gospel, this plan of the gospel, this pledge to the gospel. He said to the Jew and the Gentile. But notice this, here's the product of the gospel. He said simply that it would be revealed faith to faith, it is written, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The product of the gospel, therein is righteousness revealed. In other words, it's right. It's not right to die without Christ. But he says the gospel will produce righteousness. I'm glad I heard the gospel story. It's not in what I do for God, but it's what I do with God out of my heart. I'm glad I believed the Lord, and He hath put on my account righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the deeds of the gospel. We live in America where we take for granted the gospel. But let me tell you, this is the greatest book that's ever been written, for it contains the gospel of Christ. For in that we see the deeds of the gospel. But look down below that to the next verse in verse 18. not only do we see the deeds of the gospel, but now we see the heeds of the gospel. You know, all through our Bible, when we read our Bible, it brings us balance. Yes, God is a God of love. I want you to know that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is a God of love. But here Romans chapter number 1 brings a balance to God that you don't hear a lot about. It's the wrath of God. God is a God of wrath or God of judgment. In so many contemporary churches today, it's not what they say that I disagree with. It's what they won't say is what I disagree with. And here you must realize this gospel is balanced. For here we find out about the wrath of God. Has anybody ever explained to you the wrath of God? You say, well, preacher, tell me about the wrath of God. Well, in Noah's day, God destroyed the whole earth with a flood. There were only 8 saved that went in the ark that day. And then when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, when God parted that Red Sea and God's children went across, when Pharaoh's crowd walked in, God's wrath removed the walls of mercy and it came upon them as a tidal flood and destroyed all of Pharaoh's army. This morning, the deeds of the gospel, but now the heeds of the gospel. Let's look what it says in Romans 1 and verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The heeds of the gospel. Look in verse 18. There's the facts of God's wrath. For the wrath of God. Then the focus of God's wrath. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The focus of God's wrath. And then in verse 18, not only do we see the facts and the focus of God's wrath, but now we see the finding of God's wrath. Look what it says, on all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You see, the finding of God's wrath, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Did you know if you're not saved, you are an enemy of God? A lot of people don't realize that. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 7. You say, well, preacher, I'm not the enemy of God. The Bible teaches us that we are the enemy of God until He saves us. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity or against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The finding of God's wrath. Look in Romans 5 and 10. Romans 5 and verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, there's our word, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Ephesians 2 and verse number 3, showing us we were the enemies of God. In Ephesians chapter number 2, this shows me where I was. I want to read verses 1 through 3. And you and me hath He quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. Have you ever been made alive by the Spirit of God? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now here it is in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and here it is, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. The heeds of the gospel. There's the facts of God's wrath, the focus of God's wrath. But here this morning we see the findings of God's wrath. Men rebelled against God's truth. They hold the truth, but they do nothing with it. They stay in their unrighteousness. There has never been so much truth proclaimed in a generation as it is this morning. But men hold the truth in unrighteousness. They do not believe in Christ and be born again by the grace of God. Here, this finding of the wrath of God, men rebelled against God's truth, but then men rejected against God's truth, and they stayed in unrighteousness. Can I tell you that we have responsibility to respond to the gospel? Can I tell you that everybody in this building, if you die without Christ, you'll stand before God responsible for the truth that you had that you did not access to be saved? This morning, there's the deeds of the gospel. The heeds of the gospel. But lastly, there's the needs of the gospel. The needs of the gospel. Look in Romans 5, verse 6. Watch your Bibles. Romans 5, verse number 6. The needs of the gospel. Why do I need the gospel, preacher? Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I don't care what men you have done. We need to realize this. Our Bible tells us that Christ died for us. We see the sinner's pitiful condition. In verse 6, he is a weak man without strength. Then he's a wicked man, the Bible said. Christ died for the ungodly. Somebody asked me a few years ago, they'd heard that I was going to the prisons. And Brother Kurt, I told them in a message Tuesday night this, around 200 men sitting there. They've been locked up, have a penalty against them. I said, one time there was a lady said, I can't believe that you're going down there to preach to them kind of people. I said, ma'am, the only reason I'm not there, I didn't get caught. And I want you to realize that a life without Christ is ungodliness. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how morally you are. Without Christ, you are unrighteous. Here, the sinner's pitiful condition, the Bible says he's a weak man. He is a wicked man. Then in verse 8, he is a wayward man. But God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing that Christ died for me and you in our condition? I'm glad I don't have a gospel that I can wait till I can be good enough to receive it. I'm glad that I can receive the gospel in my present condition. The sinner's pitiful condition. He was a weak man, a wicked man, a wayward man, but he's a warlike man in verse number 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. When we were enemies. I never knew that me as a lost man, I didn't realize I was an enemy of God. This morning, the needs of the gospel, there's the sinner's pitiful condition. But then secondly, within this text, here's the Savior's priceless compassion. Look in verse 6, the sacrifice of His compassion. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it means a lot to me that Christ died for me. Christ died for you. There's been a lot of people's helped you in life, but let me ask you, there's only been one that's went on a cross and died for you specifically. The needs of the gospel. The sinner's pitiful condition, the Savior's priceless compassion, the sacrifice of His compassion. But in verse 8, there's the statement of His compassion. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We wonder a lot of times, well, why would you throw your hands toward heaven when a song is sung of amazing grace? At the cross where I first saw the light. If there's anybody that ought to be thankful, it's God's people that Christ died for us in order to get us to God. Lastly, in this needs of the gospel, the sinner's pitiful condition, the Savior's priceless compassion, but now, look in verse 9 and 10, the saint's precious conversion. We see, first of all, our position. Much more than, watch your Bible, being now justified by His blood. It is a bloody gospel. Christ did not spill His blood. He shed His blood. He poured His blood out on the cross to justify sinners, which is a legal term in heaven. I'm glad I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. The needs of the gospel. The saints' precious conversion, our position, we're justified by His blood. Our protection, look in verse 9, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell this morning. And I got good news for you too, friend. You don't have to die and go to hell in your sins if you'll believe Christ to the glorious gospel. Our position, our protection, saved from wrath. But look in verse 10, and this is where some of you need to look into this morning, what you need to leave the building with. Not only our position and protection, but now look at our peace. Verse 10, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Word reconciled, it means to take enemies and make them friends or at peace with God. Do you have peace with God this morning? I remember as a lost man when I would lay down at night, I was looking for things in this world that would bring me peace. That's the way many of you are doing this morning. You're reaching for things that turn to vapor. Only Christ and Christ alone can bring you peace with God this morning. That is the needs of the gospel. Our position, our protection, our peace. In verse 10, our preservation or our protection, we shall be saved by wrath through Him. Saved by His life. Now, verse 11, our praise. Not only so, but we also joy in God. Well, preacher, I'm confused about something. When people come to church and the Spirit of the Lord begins to minister, and looks like people have so much joy. Would you like to have that peace and joy this morning? That peace and joy that this world knows nothing about, that only Christ and Christ alone can bring in your life and your heart? I'm glad I have peace with God, and I'm glad I have peace of God. Oh, what marvelous peace. And then, lastly, not only the praise of the saints' precious conversion, but the privilege of the saints' conversion. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. The atonement is the amends for our wrongs. You know, I never realized as a lost man I was an enemy to God. I knew I wasn't saved. I knew I was a stranger. Brother Tim, would you bring Brother Kurt to the stage?